The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Katie Nicole was born with congenital scoliosis that required major surgery.
I have these metal rods and screws placed into my back, and it's supposed to fix everything. You know, that's what, you know, we think is going to happen. And when I came to the other side of the surgery, unfortunately, I was in excruciating pain, a type of pain that I can only describe as just this big, dark smoke cloud over my life. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus'
Welcome to Life Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty, and this is James, of course, and you're going to be so blessed today as we listen to the journey, a difficult journey at many times for Katie Nicole.
Well, and her song, when she wrote it and put it on YouTube, it went to 12 million views.
Wow.
Did you hear what I said, 12 million views? Well, you're going to hear her sing it here, and she's actually now, of course, moved in production where it's not just her by herself, but it just took off. And her journey is one of the reasons it took off, because the miraculous work of God started happening in her very pain-racked, damaged body that was genetically presented to her, basically, starting at birth. And I just think that you're really, really, truly going to be blessed. And so, Katie, we welcome you to Life Today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I am so grateful to be here. It really is an honor to be here. And I'm just praising God, because there's so many reasons to praise God. But, you know, I'm just going to share a little bit of a story that, you know, is my life. And it's a crazy, wonderful thing that God has just allowed me to be here today and to be strong. And, you know, I was born with something that's called congenital scoliosis. And I wasn't diagnosed until I was 5, which is actually, you know, kind of a crazy thing, because usually...
Were you experiencing problems before the diagnosis?
Yeah, and they didn't know what it was coming from until I was 5. And so I was, you know, the odds were kind of stacked up against me from a young age. I was, you know, I was told, I wasn't told. My parents were told, she might not be able to walk, she may not be able to do the things that the other kids do. But, you know...
Did they tell them that even before you were born, they could see something, or not until after you were born?
Before I was born, they almost terminated the pregnancy, because they thought that something was genetically not right with me. And unfortunately, you know, their solution to the problem is, okay, just try again. But,
wow.
But, you know... That's not. I'm here today to talk about it. So
yeah,
obviously, they didn't terminate the pregnancy, because, you know, life is such a gift. And if I weren't here today, I would not be able to, you know, go out and talk about the goodness of Jesus. And I know that's my purpose in life. That's the reason I'm here today. And you know, scoliosis isn't rare. It's something that, you know, a lot of kids end up having, but not a lot of kids end up having the spine surgery that I ended up having. When I moved from Illinois to Arizona when I was 13. That's when I started to have great challenges with my spine. And it was to the point where doctors were saying the surgery needs to happen, like, now. And
how was it affecting you? Unable to walk? Just pain? Was it crippling you? Twisting you? What was it doing?
It was starting to twist, curve, you know, it was doing all the things it shouldn't do. My type of scoliosis is a birth defect. It was 2 fused vertebrae at the top of my spine that was causing it to go like this. And so my spine, you know, starts curving, and then it doesn't just affect my back, it affects my lungs and my heart. And so because it's starting to, you know, you're seeing this change, these doctors are like, nope, that's not good. You know, it could have ended up being a, you know, disability for me. I could have ended up in a wheelchair. I could have ended up, you know, not being able to do any of the things that, you know, I'm doing today.
As freely as you are right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I had this spine surgery when I was 14. I had metal rods and screws placed into my spine. just the top of my spine. And so I have these metal rods and screws placed into my back, and it's supposed to fix everything. You know, that's what, you know, we think is going to happen. And when I came to the other side of the surgery, unfortunately, I was in excruciating pain, a type of pain that I can only describe as just this big, dark smoke cloud over my life that, you know, I'd never faced before. I'd never seen such darkness. And I was dealing with pain to where I wanted to be in bed all day, but I was also dealing with, you know, like that it was a physical pain, but I was also dealing with a mental thing where I was dealing with anxiety and depression to the point where I could not function. And I thought I was functioning, but I was not functioning, because to this day, there are parts of my life in the 3 years that I went through this that I don't remember. And
how old then, you think, the years you remember?
So it was 15 to 18 years old. So I come out of the surgery, and, you know, it takes a year to fully recover from spinal fusion surgery. And so, you know, doctors aren't really going to assess pain until it's been a year. So once a year goes by, they take x-rays and they're like, everything looks great. We did our job. Let's move on. But I'm in pain. I'm in pain that is really, really bad. And, you know, even through my skin, you could actually feel these screws. And it's like, and I know I'm feeling something that's not part of my body. And no one is listening. And eventually I'm just being told that I needed to go to see a pain management clinic and get opioids. And I didn't like taking pills in general. And pills were something that, you know, even from an early age, I knew were not necessarily, they could be a bad thing. And for me, they were a dangerous thing. Because when I was around 16 years old, I had a bottle of opioids in my possession. And I knew how dangerous that could be. And so I picked up that bottle of pills one day, and I'm looking at it, and I'm literally just analyzing this bottle of pills.
And I, and you're living in pain at that time too, and you knew that's supposed to be a possible way to alleviate it. So you had a stick of potential dynamite that might you have been convinced could be a help.
Yeah.
So okay, you made a decision.
And help, but I also, I was crying out to God, and honestly, at an age where I didn't really know God. I didn't really know who God was. I didn't know God's character. I didn't know how great he really was. I just knew that I needed something to hold on to. And at that point, I was like, you know what? If you are the way out, then I want a way out. And that bottle of pills for me was the way out. Wow. And so I took that bottle of pills with me to the bathroom. And there wasn't anything on the floor, but I tripped over something, and the bottle of pills spilled everywhere onto the floor. And I look down, and I'm defeated. I'm in a place where hope is gone, gone for me. And I just look down, and I pick them all up, and there's a trash can, and so I just go ahead and toss them all in, because that was the day that God spoke over my life. Hold on, I'm not done yet. And you know, I'm thinking, who is this? Who is this guy? Why is he wanting me to stay when I'm in so much pain? And I don't want to do it anymore. But I held on to that moment. I held on to those words. And I truly believed in my heart that I had a reason to be alive. And, you know, God also laid upon my heart that 2018 was an important year. And I didn't know why. I just had that year in my mind for some odd reason, from the year 2015 to the year 2018. And eventually, after seeing every single doctor you could possibly go to, my surgeon says to me, well, we can remove the metal rods and screws that we placed into your spine, but that's riskier than leaving them in. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. Do whatever you have to do. And I knew in my heart, I didn't want to keep going. I didn't want to hold on. I didn't want to be alive anymore. And so I said yes to the surgery. And at 18 years old, you have the power to say, okay, you know, your parents can't make the decision for you. And so I said, all right, go in and remove everything. And so that's exactly what they did. They go in.
Did you do it because you basically said, this is not working?
This isn't working. This is this is causing
something. Did you think about maybe God now, this God that you're investigating might be able to help you?
You know, I've been a Christian my whole life, and I knew God was important. I knew that I was not, and God was. And so I knew that there was help. I knew that there was a promise. I knew things that I hadn't even identified in the Bible. Because I wasn't, you know, I knew God. I knew of God. But there's a difference between having a relationship mm-hmm. and having just a knowledge of his existence.
What happened? What did God do? What changed after the rods were out?
You know, I come out of the surgery and that dark smoke cloud, that depression, that anxiety, that something heavy on my life was lifted. And I saw the light again for the first time in a magnificent way. In a magnificent way of, I knew that day that my life had a purpose, that I had a plan, and God's plan for my life was going to change everything. I held on to Jeremiah 29:11 that entire time. You know, I wasn't fully invested in my Bible and scripture and who God was, but I knew there was a promise. I knew that there was a plan, and God was not trying to hurt me. I knew that. I don't know how I knew that, but I'm pretty sure that's what faith is. I'm pretty sure that's why we have faith. It's this little thing, it's this little voice that's saying, keep going, because I'm stronger than you, I'm greater than you, I'm more powerful than you, and I will keep you sustained until the very end.
And you did have a change.
And I absolutely did have a change. And you know what? I was not singing Christian music before that surgery, but I surely was after that surgery. You know, I think of the Psalms and how we should be singing them. And here I am.
Okay, how did you all of a sudden, how did you just sit down and write, and then all of a sudden when you posted it took off?
You know, it was a song that I had written with two other writers, and it was a song called God of Possible, and I knew that there was power in prayer, and I said, we need prayer in this song. And so we write a prayer in the song, but it's the bridge of the song, not the chorus, not the song you hear today, but this little portion of the song was something that I felt had power, and I felt it in my own heart and in my own life as I was dealing with, you know, even in 2021, dealing with challenges, because life gives you battles that you have to go and face, because God is greater and God is stronger and he will fight for you. And I felt in that moment, I was like, this world doesn't believe that there's power in prayer. This world does not believe what I believe, but I'm surely going to speak no matter if they believe it or not. And so I'm speaking the name of Jesus, and I'm speaking prayer over people. And then all of a sudden, that's what they need to hear. And you know what? It's nothing that I could have done with my own voice. It's everything that God can speak through me.
Right.
And I believe that.
Millions heard it almost immediately and continue and more. And you now have written songs that I'm sure are going to fit together and probably be some kind of an album. Could we hear you sing that song, In the Name of Jesus? Would
absolutely.
You do that voice?
Absolutely.
All right. We are going to hear that. Betty, are you a little bit excited?
I am. I'm on here.
All right. Here is Katie Nicole.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. Every promise he's faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, he is stronger, he circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith.
We are praying in your name, Jesus. And just listen to me. Betty and I are going to be 80 years old next year. I thank God for the years that we've lived in the family. Mm-hmm. But both of us have some challenges right now as we've gotten older. Many of you have serious challenges like Katie had when she was born and through her life and even now. So you pray that God will continue healing. But that was a prayer for you. And Father, Betty and I join right now, not only for you to touch our bodies, but in Jesus' name, begin a healing process in the physical bodies, the minds and the relationships of viewers. And yes, God, a revival, an awakening, a restoration of all things in your church, in this nation, in all nations. God, this was a prayer. And we pray it for everybody watching, mm-hmm. and with them we pray it. In Jesus' name. Wow, Katie. I'm going to tell you, that was a song.
That was powerful.
But that was a prayer. Mm-hmm. And it touched every single life of people watching. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, even the heart cry for revival, I hear it, mm-hmm. is not only something we desperately need, but something very possible. If we, the people of God, would stand up in this kind of a spirit of love and prayer, like you heard in this prayer.
Yeah.
You know, all our viewers are going to pray for the healing to continue, for your music ministry. Mm-hmm. If people wanted to access how they can get all your music or get you to come and sing or testify in their church, what website would they go to?
They're going to go to katienicole.com.
It's there. Our prayer partners have it. Many of you may call to say, pray with me about this. Katie, we're going to ask all our viewers to do what our viewers love to, and that is to give food to those who are starving. Mm-hmm. We give water to the thirsty. Mm-hmm. Our viewers love it. You do. And I want you to listen to our mission overseer. He's the son of the original founder of our mission outreaches together, mm-hmm. Peter Pretorius' son, Isaac. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen to the heart cry of the people you can be the miracle for and the answered prayer for. Yes, you can. Watch.
Now, people often ask me, what does crisis look like? When you say there's a crisis in the field, what is that? This is the picture of crisis. Mother after mother here in a screening clinic for malnutrition. You can see how overcrowded it is. Mothers that have come here in absolute desperation. Crisis is when there's more mothers than we can handle. Crisis is when there's not enough food for each and every child. Crisis is when the silent killer of malnutrition comes in and starts to literally rob the lives of each and every one of these children. But I need you to understand where that crisis starts. It doesn't start here. This is where it ends, and many times it ends with a tragic ending. But this crisis starts out in the village. It starts because of failed crops due to the worst drought in 40 years in this area. It starts because the mother is not able to produce enough food to feed her family. It starts because a child goes to bed without a meal that day. And the next, and the next. That is how this crisis starts. It's not because these mothers are not doing everything they can to provide for their children. It's because everything they can is not enough. How do we change that, you ask? We change it by reaching the mothers out in the villages. We change it by bringing mission feeding to those mothers, providing that bowl of food each and every day, the nutrients that that child needs. That's how we avert this crisis. Not here in the clinic. By the time we get here, many times it's too late. So please, help us today to take mission feeding to the mothers out in the villages. I can give you a guarantee that we will literally bring hope to those mothers and life to those children.
18 million children's lives saved. That's not what our missionaries say, or we at Life Outreach say. That's what the various countries in Africa, the nation's leadership, say. Now you think about that. Every precious child love gave life to, 18 million of them that we know of. And we win more people to Christ in those areas where we have fed. Far greater numbers even than that have come to trust Christ because they saw the love of God through the missionaries who were enabled to feed and love and help because you put the oil in their lanterns. And Betty, I'm just praying for a miracle. We've got 350,000 children that line up to be fed. It's the only food they'll get almost 90% of the time, if not 100% of the time, only food they get that day. So would you be a part of the miracle? Betty, I'm believing. We ask God to just touch the life of every one of our viewers and touch them in the area of need. And we're here to inspire you and bless you with all of our guests and encourage all the members of the body of Christ to come together and be healthy and put God's arms around the world He loves so much. I'm believing for a miracle response today.
I am too. And as we all watch together there toward the end of those scenes of the malnourishment, the places that they've intervened and destroying the lives of those precious little ones. I saw that one there to where their skin was actually falling off of their bodies. I don't think I've ever seen it that bad. Can you imagine the heart of that mother of that child as she's watching her child slowly die, the life being taken out of them? That's preventable. I hope you realize that by joining with us, we can keep that from happening. So please be a part of the true miracle of God of offering love, but first of all, offering the food and nourishment they need. Thank you so much.
I'm glad you called attention to that. We've showed you now for more than 30 years where the skin would begin to die, but I think that's the worst I've ever seen it. And that literally is malnutrition that causes that slow, horrible, painful death, heartbreaking to the mother and to the family and to you. But there's a perfect cure, not wishful thinking. Would you right now go and get your bank card or go get a check and write it to Life? Get your bank card and dial the number or go online and use that card like a check. If you could help us feed 10 children, it's $100 to feed 10 for the next month. Would you do that? $50 will feed 5, $30 will feed 3. There's a level at which all of you can help. And I'm already subconsciously praying if you could help feed 100 by giving 1,000 or maybe several hundred by giving several thousand, I just believe you'll do it. And I'm thanking you, God, because you move people. Would you right now? We have some beautiful gifts to send you that are really going to bless you. But you really are making the greatest gift, a gift moved by the unconditional redemptive love of God. Would you right now do it, please? Make the gift God put on your heart and know that that gift is saving lives, giving life, and sharing the source of life that's found in Christ. Thank you for doing it.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Severe drought and famine, including in crisis areas like Ethiopia, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the blessing of taking communion. In this book, discover how the sacred ordinance of communion helps to feed your soul and remind you of the transformative power of receiving the Lord's Supper. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Life Legacy Journal. This beautiful journal and pen will help you write your personal story and share the experiences that made you who you are. One day, the generations that follow will be able to look back and learn from the legacy you've left behind. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I'm so glad that Kay's here. And that, boy, what a prayer. And by the way, you keep praying for her because the pain hadn't all gone. But you've experienced an indescribable, what you'd call one of those biblical miracles, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Let's just keep it going. But that, could you not tell in that prayer, that song, she was praying for you, which is why we're here. Now, they can go online. They could go on and see the original YouTube posting. And then, of course, the more production, because you've actually done some with more production, and you've got other songs.
Yeah.
And so there's the website if you want to go and see what she's got and where she's going, or if you can get her to come to your area and share Jesus. We just thank you so much for being a blessing.
Thank you, guys.
And we want to thank all of you for blessing so many people all over the world with the love of God and with food. Thank you.
I thought, God, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. I need to feel your love.
Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.